Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So it's so good to see you all this evening. And it's the final night, amen. Have you guys had a good time so far? Have you been blessed? Amen. Amen. So I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do this evening. And this afternoon, I really sought the Lord for a word. And I'm always amazed at God, because I just am amazed at how He puts everything together, you know, kind of like a puzzle. How many of you know your lives is like a puzzle if you're in His hands? Amen. Every piece makes sense at the end of the day. Amen. So last night we saw some amazing things happen. We saw some people get really touched. Some people got healed. Amen. Did you enjoy last night?
Yes.
Are you ever going to forget again, ever again? Can we all say it one more time? Again.
Yes.
And again. Again. Amen. It was good. Amen. God is wonderful. Amen. And so tonight, you know, I really actually thought we were going to move off the subject of the Holy Spirit. But it's amazing to me, because in order for me to release the word that God has given me tonight for the church, for you guys, it's all about the Holy Spirit again. Amen. So obviously, He is trying to say something to us this evening, this week. And I'm just, again, really excited. And let's just get straight to it. Amen. So Proverbs 18, verse number 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It is so important in our lives that we are so cautious what we say, what we allow to come out of our mouths, because our mouths are very powerful instruments that can either speak death or speak life. Amen. How many of you would rather speak life? How many of you would rather speak words that would edify, that would build up, that would give hope, that would speak purpose, that would be in line with what God is saying? Amen. Amen. So I know that's how I feel, you know. I think that would be good. Amen. So I'm just going to read something I read last night, because this will just lay the foundation for this evening. John 12, verse number 27. We'll start there. Keep in mind what I said, that death and life is in the power of the tongue. John 12, 27 says, now this is Jesus. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Not what shall I do? What should I think about? What should I hope for? What shall I say? And this is what he says. Should I say? This is what he's saying. Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? Or should I say, but for this purpose, I came to this hour? We all have to get to the point where we realize that we are right here, right now, in this hour, for a specific purpose, for a specific plan that God has for us right now. And in your walk with Him, even in this season, you have to realize that all kinds of suggestions and things that the enemy will bring against you, and you will be faced with that same question. And all I want to know from you is, what are you going to say? Amen. Amen. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it.
Amen.
Amen. Every time you put your situation, your struggle, the thing that is terrifying to you on the shelf, and you do what God is leading you to do, He will be glorified.
Amen.
Amen. He will be glorified again and again and again. When He heals, He is glorified. When He touches someone, He is glorified. When His powers manifest, He's glorified. When someone gets saved, He's glorified. When your family gets saved, He's glorified. When something goes right in your business, He's glorified. He is glorified in all things in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, I've taught you quite a few things over the last 3-4 nights regarding the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, I would love to share so much more with you. But I want to show you one thing tonight that He teaches, or He says, or rather Jesus says, that He will do in our lives. And I believe this is a very, very important point, because I believe this is part of what God's going to be doing in this last season of this planet. Amen. In this last hour. In this last hour, before God comes back and collects His church, this will take place on the earth. This will manifest in a degree that we have never seen it before, because God is releasing this right now to His church. Amen. And this is what tonight is all about. So let's go have a look. John 16, 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into truth, into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority. Now I want to stop right there, just really quick. And I want to go to John 5, verse number 19. I want you to see something. Do you guys have that? Yeah, you do. Okay. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son does also." Notice that the Holy Spirit works the same way. He's in the Father. He's in the Son. He doesn't do anything of His own authority. They are all one. They operate together. As he moves, God is moving. As He moves, Jesus is moving. They are all operating together, operating in one accord. They are one in each other with different expressions. Amen. But every single part is God. Amen. All right. Now, let me get to my point. I'll read it to you one more time. John 16, verse 13. Let's go back there. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Now watch. And He will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. In other words, another expression of the Holy Spirit is He will tell you things to come. He will show you things about your future, about the future of your family, about the future of your city, about the future of your church. The Holy Spirit will show you, will tell you things to come. This is another expression of what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do in our lives. Amen. So it's very important that we understand this function of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's all go to Revelation 19, verse number 10. Revelation 19, verse number 10. I'm going to try and get through this word quickly, because I want to minister to you guys this evening. It's the last night, and we'll trust God. Amen. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. But He said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." Now watch. "For the testimony of the Lord Jesus," or the testimony of Jesus, "is the spirit of prophecy. He will show you things to come." The spirit of prophecy is the Holy Spirit. It is the same spirit. He will show you things to come. The testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. It's one in the same. The function of Him showing us things to come is Him operating as the spirit of prophecy in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 14, verse number 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. But I thought tongues was bad. I thought tongues was evil. But we'll leave that for another day. Amen. This poor church has I've drilled them with tongues. Amen. If they don't get it by now, God only knows. Okay. Now watch. But even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now, Paul was trying to make a point that prophecy is extremely important. And let me assure you right now, Paul liked to speak in tongues. That's why he said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. But he goes a step further and says, as great as that is, I wish you all would prophesy even more than that. Why? Because prophecy is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit. You cannot prophesy unless the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Unless He is speaking to you. Unless you are hearing His voice. Unless you are seeing what He shows you. Unless you can see and hear the things to come. So in order for you to get to the place where you can prophesy, you are now in line with Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But that goes deeper than that. Because not only is it good for you to be able to prophesy about your own life. Because it is. You can prophesy about your family. You can prophesy about your business. You can prophesy about things. We had a prayer meeting the other day. I was prophesying over myself in the prayer meeting. They thought I was prophesying about the church. I was prophesying over myself. Amen. It was wonderful. Amen. No one else was praying, so I just started prophesying. Amen. I'm just joking. You guys were praying. You're awesome. Amen. Okay. So you will have the ability to prophesy over your own life, but you will also have the ability to edify other people. You will have the ability to speak life into other people. When other people are broken, when other people are hurting, you will have the ability to speak into their life. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, there are some boundaries to prophecy. And let me explain that to you this evening. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 3 says this. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. In other words, there is our guideline. We operate within those parameters. If someone comes to you in church and wants to give you a prophecy, that prophecy must line up with those three words, edification, exhortation, and comfort, because they are supposed to build you up. The word is supposed to encourage you. The word is supposed to give you hope. God does not think evil of you. He thinks good thoughts towards you. So if He thinks good thoughts towards you, why would He give you an evil word? Amen. When you understand what the sword of the Spirit, when you understand what the Word of God is for, you will understand even when God is angry, He will give you a word to help you fight, to deal with the issues that are in your heart, to deal with the issues that are in your life. Because when God looks at you, He sees the other man. He sees the one that He created you to be. He sees the one with destiny and purpose. He sees the one that He knew long before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He sees that man. And He has a word that can always take you out of wherever you are to build you up, to give you hope once again. Amen. Amen. So those are kind of like the parameters, and we'll talk a little bit more about it later on. But this is very important. This is the season where God is wanting to do this again. It's not the season where it's over, where it's ceased, What garbage? How can it be that God has stopped speaking? No one would be getting saved if God stopped speaking. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking all the time. And He speaks through you and He speaks through me. He's not a ghost. Yes, He's a spirit, but He's not Casper the ghost. He needs a vessel to operate. He needs someone to speak what God is saying, so that those words will have convicting power, so that those words that come out of your mouth will carry the weight of the glory of God and pierce the very heart of the person you're ministering to. Without your words, nothing will happen. You have to line up with Him. Amen. Amen. Joel 2:28 says this, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now there is the language of the Holy Spirit. That is how He speaks. Prophecy, visions and dreams. He speaks to your inner man. He doesn't speak like we speak to each other. He speaks internally. The dialogue is inside. Visions, He speaks to you in dreams. While you're praying, He'll show you something. He'll whisper something to your spirit man. That's how He speaks. 99.9% of that time. I'm not saying God cannot speak with an audible voice, but there's a lot of evidence even in the Bible that shows when the audible voice comes, everybody can sense the presence of God, but no one else can hear except the person that's hearing the voice. What does that tell you? That more likely it's internal, even though it sounds external, because maybe all of a sudden at that moment that person's reality has shifted. And they're no longer in the third dimension, the dimension that we see now, but they've moved into the dimension of the Spirit where their ears have opened and they hear the voice of God just like He was standing right here. Maybe, I don't know. Amen. Now in Acts 2:17, we see this prophecy come to fulfillment, or let me rather say come to a place where it's now been released, where Peter gets up and he says, "These are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. They will dream dreams. They will have visions." So we know this was released to the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit had fallen upon them. The spirit of prophecy was now active and living inside each and every one of them. The same Holy Spirit lives in you. He lives in you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to speak to you. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, the prophet was the exclusive voice of God to the people. He spoke to his prophets and to some of his kings, but primarily even David would have the prophet come and speak to him to represent the voice of God. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God and He lives in all of us. Amen. But He still operates the same way in that He uses your mouth to give messages, to speak life, even in your own life. I've been in my room where I have been prophesying from morning to night, jumping around, seeing myself in the future. That's how this church was birthed. I had a vision. I was praying and I saw Vero Beach, and because I knew the city. I saw the city. I knew where it was. I saw the fairgrounds. I don't want to tell you what I saw. I saw some stuff and I knew I had to plant a church. I came out of my room, went straight to my wife, and I said, "God has spoken to me. We have to plant a church in Vero Beach." She said, "What?" That's how He speaks. It's visions, it's dreams, it's the prophetic spirit, the Holy Spirit working in us. Amen. Amen. We all carry this potential through the prophetic, the Holy Spirit, to bring people out of bondage. He has the power, listen to me, He has the power, your words, When you speak life through the Holy Spirit and you give someone a word, that word has the power to preserve somebody. It is extremely powerful. I have stood in front of people on the other night. I don't know who of you were here. I started having a conversation with the principality, with the spirit, because I was seeing what he wanted to do, and I spoke a contradiction to what he wanted to do. Instead of, let's say for argument's sake, someone is going to have a car accident. Now I see the car accident. When I go to the person, this is what the Lord will do. He'll say to you, now go and speak a word against what you saw. So you give that person the sword of the Spirit. So you go and you give a word that will build them up, that will get them out of that, that will give them the ability to fight. And you just kick some devil butt. Amen. Instead of going, Brother Joe, the Lord says that Tuesday night you'll be dead in a car accident because, you know, Satan's going to get you. No. That's called stupidity. Amen. Okay, you don't do that. God doesn't operate like that. If you have the measure of the office of the prophet, you can sometimes operate at a level where you can really go in somewhere, and if God is about to strike someone down dead or something major, yes, absolutely, you can do that. But there are not that many people that carry that level of the gift. Amen? You can be developing in that way. You may be called to be a prophet, but that doesn't mean that you are a prophet. But we all have the prophetic spirit. We all have the ability to prophesy. You all have the sword of the Spirit in your mouth. Amen? All right. Let's go to 2 Kings 6, verse number 8. When the king of Syria, the king of Syria is a type of enemy, or Satan, was warring against Israel. Now let me just stop for 1 second. I'm going to give you a word now. This word is the word of the Lord to you and to Vero Beach and to this church right now. So I'm preaching to you now prophetically. So I'm taking a word that was in the Bible that God is saying to me, this is the word I want you to release to the church tonight, because this is what I'm saying to them now. How many of you know God still speaks through his word? How many of you know that Paul actually says that the Old Testament is a type of and shadow, and it shows us what will happen today? Amen. So I'm now giving you an example of what God is busy saying to us. So you need to pay attention tonight. Amen. I asked the Lord for a word. This is what he gave me. Amen. All right. When the king of Syria, who's an enemy or type of Satan, was warring against Israel, which is a representation of the church, after consulting with his servants, he said, in such and such a place shall my camp be. You see, he was busy planning. The enemy is always busy planning with his little minions to cause havoc in your life. He's always strategizing and thinking, how can I get her? How can I get him? He's covered in the blood. Where's he? Where's that? Where can I get him? Where's he out of line? Where's there some issue? What can I do? How can I plan? How can I scheme? That's what he's doing all the time. He does that in your life. He does that in your children's life. He does that in your business. He's always scheming. He's always conniving. He's always trying to find a way where he can cause destruction. He does that in our lives. He does that in our church's life. He does that in our city's life. He's always trying to figure out how he can destroy. He's the destroyer. He wants to always do it in two areas, either to God's people or to God's plan for your life. If he can stop the plan of God for your life, that's what he wants. If he can stop you, that's what he wants. He wants nothing more than to stop you from fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has for you. By bringing some form of destruction, hurt, pain, someone in the way, something happening. That's what he does all the time. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Amen. Then the man of God sent to the king of Israel. Now watch this. Saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent the place of which Elisha told and warned him. And thus he protected and saved himself there repeatedly. Now watch this now. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. The devil hates it when his plans are being exposed. When the plans of the enemy, when the king of Syria, somehow, the king of Syria, his plans in his inner meetings, his inner chambers, the things he was discussing was getting to the king of Israel. How was this getting to the king of Israel? We'll see in a minute. He hates it when his plans are exposed in your life, your family's life, or your city's life. When God gives you a glimpse of the plans of the enemy that are against you or against a person, the enemy does not like it at all because it gives you a weapon. Can you say amen? Okay. Are you all with me? Okay, is everybody still awake?
Yes.
Now, there is something that we need to understand. In order for us to get to the place where we can actually see the plans of the enemy against our own lives, against our family's lives, against our church's life, against friends' lives, it requires us to be able to be in communication with the Holy Spirit. He's the prophetic spirit. Can you say amen? Now watch this. Watch this. Romans 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now watch. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. How does that develop? How does that grow to the point where we become prophetically strong because our relationship with the Holy Spirit becomes so, so strong? We can see clearly there. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. That word proportion also speaks of measure, to the measure of your faith. So you will only be able to speak the word according to the measure or portion of faith that you have that is directly influenced by your relationship with God. How come? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear, the more you understand the word, the more it becomes life to you, the more rhema you have, the more of God you have in your life, the more your faith begins to increase, the more you have the ability to hear what God is busy saying, the more you have the ability to have that prophetic spirit operate in your life. He is prophetic all the time, speaking all the time, showing things all the time. I was praying yesterday and God was showing me something about something that's going to happen a long time from now. And I said to him, but Lord, what about the meeting? And he said, don't worry about the meeting. I'm showing you this because I want you to start praying about this. I want you to see what I'm going to do in a year from now. He's always busy. He's always showing you stuff. And you're busy worrying about this little pain or this thing that's happening with your husband. Stop worrying about your husband. Let God deal with your husband. You begin to hear and see what he says. Begin to speak what he says. So as you develop and grow in Christ and grow in the word and grow in your faith, so the level of the prophetic, which every single one of us have, will begin to increase in our lives. In order for you to speak what he says, you must hear what he is saying. Amen. So relationship is extremely important. Now let's get back to our story. 2 Kings 6, verse number 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this. He was greatly troubled by the fact that that somehow the king was busy finding out all his secrets. And he called his servant and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" In other words, who is a traitor in my camp? Who is busy revealing the secrets and the plans that I have against my enemy? Who is busy giving the plans away? And one of his servants said, "None, Lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Now, what you need to understand, this is Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament. You have the same spirit. You have the same spirit that was on Elisha. You have the same ability to tap into the things of God and to be able to hear what God is saying regarding your own life. What He's saying about your future. What He's saying about your children. What He's saying about your business. You have the ability. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon Elisha. It came upon him. That's where he would get the word of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, when He comes upon you, you now have that measure available to you if you so desire. Some people would just rather not hear from God. Verse number 12. We just read verse number 12. All right. You now have that ability to hear the voice of God that can preserve your life, your family's life, your business. You don't know what to do about that deal. Begin to speak to Him. Begin to seek Him. And He will speak to you because He shows you things to come. That's one of His functions. Oh God, why don't you speak to me? Because you don't know Him. He speaks through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. You've got to get to know Him. You have to encounter Him. That's what this whole week is all about. Is getting us to walk a closer walk with the Holy Spirit, who directly will show you everything about the Christ. In fact, He'll open your eyes to Jesus like you've never seen Him before, because you'll finally see Jesus for who He really is. Oh yes, absolutely full of love, full of grace, full of mercy, full of goodness and kindness, but also power. The ability to touch lives, to set free, to deliver. Those are the reasons why He came, to bring us a future and a hope. Amen. All right, I'm nearly done. Verse number 13. So He said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." You see, once God's voice is speaking, the enemy can do nothing about what he has already said. So what he does is he goes straight for the source to try to prevent the voice of God from speaking again. So what he now does is he decides, the king of Syria decides, now I'm going to go and wipe out this Elisha. Right now, the devil is so active on the planet right now, desiring desperately to silence the voice of God. I remember the first week I came to Vero Beach, the first service we had, I got on the platform and I started praying and we started ministering, and I said that God says, "My voice will be silent no longer." Because God is tired of being oppressed. He's tired of people trying to silence His voice. He has something to say. Amen. Listen to me. You must develop the prophetic in your voice. in your life, in your voice, in your, before you come and desire to prophesy in a meeting, in a church meeting, start at the bottom and develop some fruit. Start in your own life. Start with your family. Start with your friends. Start in your home cell. And when there's fruit on the tree and your words have come to pass and there's been power, there's fruit, that's when you move up. Amen. It's a process. It's always a process. We grow. We grow. Amen. He will try to destroy the source. Verse number 14. Now watch this, because here comes the punch. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Now they sent horses and chariots and a great army for one man. For one man. When you carry the voice of God, the enemy will try and do everything in his power to keep you quiet. Because he doesn't want you to speak. Because you carry the word of the Lord. And he wants you to be silent. Because the words that you have the potential to change everything. Everything. When those words are full of his spirit and power, I've seen prophecy. I've seen more healings in my life come from a prophetic word than laying on of hands. I've seen cancer get healed from a prophecy because it was so electric and so full of the power of God that when you release that word, it has the ability to even cause healing in the person's physical body. Amen. I don't know. I think this is good. You know. I mean, we can go home if you want. Oh, it's funny. It's not funny. Okay. All right. Verse number 15. Now watch, because Elisha has a servant, someone that he's developing for ministry. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master." Now watch his response. "What shall I do? What are we going to do when he comes for you?" What are we going to do when the devil comes running after you? You see, he will come with all kinds of suggestions. He'll give you doubt. He'll try to intimidate you. He'll try to get you to be silent. He'll put fear in you. He will cause a religious expression to overtake you so that you don't even believe anymore. You see, the servant, Gehazi's eyes were not open. They were closed. Now I want to show you something. I want to look at the difference between Gehazi and Elisha. Let's take a look at it one more time. One operates by observation and the flesh. The other operates according to the word of the Lord and spiritual sight. You guys are not supposed to be reading ahead. Okay? I'm going to... Yeah. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Fear, doubt, unbelief, death, and more fear. Now watch Elisha. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You see, Elisha carries the spirit of prophecy. Elisha has the ability to see and to hear what God is saying. In that moment, he realizes And he recognizes that with him is all of heaven. Backing him is all of God's power. No weapon formed against him will be able to prosper. Whether he sees it with his open, with natural eyes or not, doesn't matter. He knows it. He knows what's with him. He knows that God is with him. He's not afraid. He has no fear. He doesn't even worry about how many men there are, how many anything there is. When you carry the word of God, when you have a relationship and you are intimate with the Holy Spirit and you are hearing his voice, you will also operate with eyes that are no longer shut. Your eyes will go open. Amen. His eyes are open. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, and all around Elisha. Now, here is the word of the Lord for you tonight. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the prophetic Spirit, is available to every single one of you. And right now in this place, I pray the same prayer that Elisha prayed over his servant. Father, that you would open our eyes, that we would begin to see, that we would begin to see and hear your voice clearly. Holy Spirit, that we would align ourselves with you in Christ, and that we would open our spirits to you, that we would not submit to the religious spirit that desires to silence your voice. For surely you have been speaking. You've been speaking clearly to us, and you've been drawing us to you. You've been drawing us and drawing us, and even in this week you've drawn us, Father. And so right now I pray that you will open our eyes, that we will see, that we will see your plans, that we will see your purposes, that we will know what it is that you desire to show us, what it is that you want to do. And Father, while you show us the future, open our eyes to the past as well. So when we read all about David, and when we read about Jesus, and when we read about Paul, it becomes alive inside of us. It's no longer just words on a page. Holy Spirit, you have the ability. You are the helper. You are the comforter. You are the one who will show us. You are the one who will speak to us. I pray right now that you come and you fill this place, even right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every other name. Open our eyes, Lord. Open them now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now watch. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he did something. And he did something. What did he do? What? He said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Why? Because he was operating not by observation, not in his flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, walking with God, hearing God's voice. And when he spoke, he carried the power and the presence of God, and he had the ability to change everything. The question remains, what are you going to say about your life? What are you going to say? Not what are you going to do. Are you going to line up with him? Are you going to listen to him? Are you going to encounter him? Are you going to do everything you can to draw close to him? What are you going to say? What are the words that are in your mouth? Are they words of life, or are they words of death? Do they build people up, or do they break people down? Do you accept every accusation that comes against you? Do you accept every evil lie from the enemy that comes against you? Or are you like Elisha, that when everything comes against him and all the chariots come against him, he knows who his God is. He has the word of the Lord in his heart. He has the Holy Spirit right by him, with him, upon him, and in him. And you have the same. You have the same. So, with that said, in this place tonight, this is what we're going to do. We are going to start. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is here? He's here right now. Amen. You guys are a little bit asleep, but he's here. Amen. That's okay. That's okay. So I have something to say. The same way that the plans of the enemy was revealed to Elisha, so God gave us a glimpse of what the enemy has desired to do in this city. Because there is a spirit that has had its way in Vero Beach for far too long. So right now, we take authority over every plan of the enemy, Father, according to the word that you have given us. Father, you said that you would bring us to this place, that you would pour out your spirit, that there would be the sign of power and the sign of the fire of God, the fire of your spirit that would change and transform lives, Father. Father, when we got here, we recognized that Jezebel has been operating in the city. And even now, Father, that same spirit of Jezebel that desires to cause a person to go into hiding, that same spirit that desires to silence your voice, we take authority over Jezebel right now in the name of Jesus. And we break your power now in Jesus' name. We bind you now in Jesus' name. And we command that foul spirit to get out of our city in Jesus' mighty name. And so, Father, right now, according to the word that you gave us at the beginning of this year, we take authority over the spirit of divination, sorcery, and witchcraft. We serve you notice even now. And everyone in this place, take hands or agree. Do something. We have to do something. Let's all agree. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. Come on. Come on. So, Father, all together, we all stand together tonight. Father, this city belongs to you. We take authority over the spirit of divination right now in the name of Jesus the Christ. And we break your power. We command you to go from our city. We command you to go out of our lives. We command you to get out of our lives. We command you now to go. Father, I pray for our children right now. I pray that your power will be the power that they desire, that they will not go to the Harry Potters. They will not go to the evil of this world, the things that Satan has created and tried to recreate, which is only but a bad imitation. For you are the living God, the God who gives life, the God who delivers. And so, Father, right now, we break the power of the enemy against our children now in Jesus' name. And we declare and we decree, Father, that all fortune telling and witchcraft will be broken in our city. We command that spirit now to leave the city in the name of Jesus right now. Come on. Let's give God a shout. Let's give God a clap. Come on. Let's prophesy. Let's prophesy into the atmosphere. Let's speak the word of God. What is God saying to our city? I'm going to do something great, God. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to transform your life. If only you submit yourself to me, says the Lord. Take me by the hand, says God. Put down your religion. put down all these belief systems. For I am a living God. I am the God that lives, that breathes, that is, that was, and is to come. I am the God that healeth thee. So Father, we thank you right now. Right now, we thank you. And I pray, Father, right now, for every precious person that's here tonight. Lord, like Elisha prayed, that you will open our eyes. Father, open our eyes to know that when Jesus was here, he promised us a helper. He promised us a comforter. He promised us the one who would show us things to come. That you would come, Holy Spirit, and become our best friend. You would come and you would be the one that comforts us. When we are broken and when we are weak, you are there. When we need encouragement, you are there. You are there when we wake up in the morning and when we go to bed at night, you are there. You are with us always, Holy Spirit. Jesus said you would be, and you are. For he said that you would be with us forever, and you are with us forever. The same power that was with Jesus, you are the same as he was to his disciples. You are to us. You are our comforter. He was their comforter. You are the one who shows us things to come. He was the one who showed them things to come. You are the one who speaks to us and teaches us. He was the one who spoke to them and taught them. We love you, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord, in this place. You are our God, Father. You are our God. In this place, just come now, Holy Spirit. Come now and begin to touch the hearts of every person. For the enemy has raged and raged against you. For his desire to keep you in a stuck position. In a position where you do not move, in a position where you do not grow. But God says, I am setting you free even in this night. I will give you movement in your bones and I will give you movement in your joints. I have sent you the helper. I have sent you the comforter. I have sent you the Holy Spirit. And he's with you now. And he's touched us this week. He's been in this place. And we are so thankful, Lord. We are so thankful. We are so thankful. And so tonight, Father, I ask that you will release a greater level of your presence to us this evening. Father, that you will touch every single person here tonight. But Lord, my prayer is that when we leave here tonight, it will be our deepest desire to get to know you more. To get to know you more, Lord. So Holy Spirit, come again tonight and fill every person. Come again and give us a fresh fire, a fresh anointing, a fresh zeal. Burn away those things in our life that you do not desire to have in our lives, Father. Lord, draw us unto you, for you surely are the one who draws us. No one comes to you unless you draw us. So draw us even now, Father. Draw us in this place to you. Draw us to you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Holy Spirit, encounter us tonight. Refresh us tonight with the purpose that when we get up and we walk out of this place this evening, we will have a thirst and a hunger for more and more. And more and more of you, so that Father, you will be glorified again and again and again and again in the name that is above every other name, the only name that carries the power the only name that has the healing, the only name that delivers, the only name that is the name of Jesus Christ, the name of our precious Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we give you thanks, and so we give you praise even now in this place, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you for it now, Father.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.